All right, so we're talking about repentance again. You guys aren't retired of repentance, right?
No.
Hopefully you guys never will get retired of repentance. And so today what we're going to look at is, how do I repent? That's a good question, right? How do I repent? And, you know, we've been looking at what repentance is. We've learned so far that repentance equals the same thing as the Greek word metanoia, which means a mind change, right? And so we learned it's a very, very exciting thing, even though most people, when they talk about repentance, is kind of this more penance thing. But when we go back to the scriptures, we find that change is an incredible thing that we get to experience only in our relationship with God. And so, I don't know, some people are probably really fired up about that, but I'm sure along the way, some of us are kind of feeling like, wow, how am I going to do this? How am I going to repent? How am I going to have this great mind change in my life? And this week has been a great week, and it's also had its challenges. And one of the challenges is Marge and I had a little bit of a bump the other day, and I'm sure married couples can relate a little bit. But we had a little bit of a bump and a little bit of a fight. And I came out of that just realizing how prideful I am. And how much I have anger, and, you know, because I saw my voice starts raising. And I just think about the things in my character that really, really need to change. And so when I look at those things, sometimes I can go, you know, I just remember going to God after that the other day and just thinking like, God, how? I know we're talking about repentance. I know we're all talking about this great change and this great celebration we're going to have, that the whole church, we're going to celebrate this repentance is going to happen. But then I started thinking, well, how am I need to do that too. And boy, am I going to be able to do this? And I think some of us, I've even heard some people say, you know, like, how do I know if I'm going to be able to repent by that day when we have our big party of repentance? Well, I don't know, but I think today's lesson will help you a little bit because some of these scriptures really help me, because, you know, what I'm seeing is that as I go to God, there's things that I can do, but then there's also things that God is going to do. And so we're going to talk about both those today. But I just want you to know that you're not alone. All of us have things that we need to change, right? And when we look at those things, and I think that's the reason why we stay away from them, because sometimes when we look at those are the things that can make us feel hopeless. When we're not looking through the eyes of the scripture and through Jesus, those are the things in our life that can make us feel like I'm just never going to be different than I am today. But then I had some other part of my week that was like really, really awesome. One of the things I've been working on is I want to share more scriptures. We're talking about household repentance. And this is what and this will get to my last point of what we're talking about today, about how God gives us the repentance. But I on my heart this week, I realized that I need to do something more to share scriptures with my wife. And so I'm driving along, and I'm thinking, I need to go, and I even text myself. You know, I have Siri, so I can say it while I'm driving, and she texts me, and I said, order a book, and I need to order this book that had scriptures in it, like for weekly devotionals. And I came out the other side of that thinking, you know what? I wasn't even thinking about the repentance thing we're doing as a church. It was just something that God had put on my heart. And I know, and so while there's challenges, I also see that God works. And He does get us to change our hearts and so in our minds. And so we're going to talk about that today, because I don't know if any of you guys have felt like me, like, man, I got so many things in my life to repent of. How am I going to do this? Anybody here relate?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're all there. Okay, so one of the things we'll start off here, I didn't get to mention this last time, but this is one thing I just want to make a clarification about repentance and metanoia. I used to tell people all the time that repentance was this military term where you're walking this way and then they say repent and you turn. Okay? And so it was just a turn. It was just a change. That is not, has never been a part of what metanoia is. Now, it is a part of it, but it doesn't equal the whole definition of metanoia, because it's more of a mind change. If I just told you to change directions, there's nothing that goes on in your mind and heart there. Okay? And so, you know, one of the other questions we can start thinking to ourselves and asking is, why can't I just try to do good? Why do I have to go through this repentance stuff? Why do I need to really study this out and really come to this idea and conclusion that my mind needs to change? Why can't I just do good without the repentance? Well, the reason is because you're going to find yourself in one or both of these. You're going to find yourself being weighed down by the things in your life because you just can't change them. You know, or it'll cause you to look at the Bible as just a bunch of rules and regulations. And you'll be carrying this load like, I got to do this and I got to do this. And so when we think about repentance, it's not just about being a good person, but we got to experience the true mind change that only Jesus can bring us, or our Christianity will look like one of these. And we don't want that, right? Okay, and so, you know, one of the things that I've seen in Christians, and part of this for a good reason, but we tend to overestimate our before picture. And what I mean by that is, and now there's some truth to this, right? When we were in the world, we were a bunch of sinners. We were doing all kinds of bad stuff, right, that we've changed. And there's truth to it. However, sometimes we can make ourselves look even worse than we are, almost like our sin was worse than anybody else's in the world. And we learn in the scripture that all sin is the same. There is no such thing as a big sin or a small sin, because sin is sin. And so we need to really get this, to kind of look at where who we were in the world, and then when we became Christians, we can kind of underestimate the after picture. And so I took this, this was at the Montgomery Courthouse. There was actually a statue faced behind there. But I said, Trey, stand right in front of it. Just came out a good picture. And but sometimes we can feel like, you know what, I'm a Christian now. I'm almost like this angel. You know, when you say like, so where are you at in your life? You know, I'm everything's awesome. And we start telling people that all the time. How you doing? Everything's great. And we get into this mode where everything's always awesome because we're Christians. And we don't want to look at who we really are, because those are the things, when we don't look at them in the right perspective, bring us the hopelessness and all the other stuff. So we want to have a clear picture of ourselves. That's very important. You know, we want to have a clear picture of ourselves and what our who we are and what our sin is. Because when we do that, we can really start to go to God to really work on these things instead of avoiding it and always having it being there weighing us down. So we need to get a clear picture of who we are. And so the first scripture I want to share with you is 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. And, you know, I remember reading scriptures like this for the first time years ago when I became a Christian, or when I was studying to become a Christian, and I looked and I saw these things that were in my life. I could look on there. There were things. I loved money, and I was disobedient to my, I was for sure proud. There were so many things, and I remember that when I studied the Bible, I was like, wow, I really need to go after repentance. I really need to change. And it wasn't a downer. It was actually very, very exciting. I want you to think back when you study the Bible. It was very exciting to know that I did not have to live as I did before. I did not have to be that same person. You know, but we see in the scripture here that God calls these things terrible. So the question I have for you, and some of you guys have been Christians for a long time, do you still see these things as terrible when they enter into your life? Do you still see them with that magnitude, with that excitement to change it? Do you still see it as like, wow, I gotta get this thing? Kind of what we talked about in our house churches this week about being eager and all the different things. Do you still look at the things in your life that maybe one of these on this list here in the Bible, do we say, you know what? These are terrible. I gotta get these out. I'm excited about getting this out, because I want to experience this mind change that only Jesus can give me, you know? But I think what I find as people get older in their Christianity, I've heard this before, and I don't know if you've ever heard this, but you confront someone on their sin, they say, well, this is just the way I am. You know, I've learned as a Christian, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, and I've never been able to change this sin. I've never been able to get out of this thing that's been holding me down. And I've heard people say, well, that's just the way I am. You know, you just have to kind of understand that. You know, or, you know, I've tried and I just can't change that one. I can't become different in that area. Or the other one is, well, you don't really understand why I'm like this. You haven't been through what I've been through, so therefore it's okay for me to be this way. And I think when we think about that, we have to ask ourselves, did we say those things when we were studying the Bible for the first time? I don't think so. I think most of us, when we study the Bible for the first time, we were like, I got no excuse for where I'm at. I need to move forward. I need to have this incredible mind change. I need to be a new person. Okay? And the reason why I say this is because I really do think that, I honestly think a lot of people in this room are really trying to change and go after things in their life. You know, I've seen a lot of people over the last couple of weeks really going after in different conversations. You know, but then I've seen other people, I say, did you do your little assignment, which was so easy. You know, did you do your little assignment? I think I went to one house church and like half the people in the room raised their hand. And I'm thinking, well, the other half don't get. You don't get that those sins are just as bad in our life now, and we need to go after changing. Unless you're saying you have nothing going on, you have no sin, but we need to really see, we can't blow this off thinking that this is just some kind of a campaign. It's not a campaign. Repentance is something that we get to be excited about our whole Christian life. You know, we get to be excited about that. So I want to encourage and challenge you guys, don't blow this stuff off. Okay? Don't blow off repentance. Don't just say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to participate. Because you're the one that's going to miss out. You're going to miss out on the mind change and this incredible, the other side of it that God's going to show you. And so I don't want anybody to miss out. We've got to see the sin that's in our life as terrible, just as Jesus looked at our sin, okay? And so that's not to discourage, that's to get us excited, right? Because I don't want to be the same person I was this week. I want to have a major mind change in my house. I want to have a major mind change in how I treat my wife. I want to have this major radical change that takes place in my life. How am I going to do it? I know part of it, how I'm going to do it, but the other part I don't, and we'll see that here in a second. What we need is we need to get to this word alecho. Alecho. It's a Greek word, and it's throughout the Bible, and we need to get to a place. A lot of people say that this is the gateway to repentance. Alecho. And we'll be seeing this in scriptures coming up here, but the definition of that word means to show someone his sin and to summon him to repentance, to rebuke, to reprove, to expose and discipline. Okay, so it's really a way of helping somebody get to that point where they're ready to experience repentance. Okay, it's getting that person, and we'll see some examples down the line, it's helping people to get their hearts in the right place so that they can, when the repentance comes from God, we're ready to accept that gift.
Yeah.
Okay? And so this is a very important thing. And there's different ways of getting alecho in our life. The first one is that the Holy Spirit convicts us. Okay? And here's a couple scriptures. Ephesians 5:13. It says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is the light that makes everything visible. Okay, so the word exposed is alencho. Okay, so it says that really God's, you know, he's going to bring it out. It's everything's going to be exposed by the light. Revelation 3:19, it says, I reprove and discipline those whom I love. Be earnest and therefore and repent. Now, I can bet when most people, when we read those words, exposed, reprove, and other ones like, say, rebuke, and stuff like that, those are the words that make us like, oh, wow, I'm kind of scared of this. But really, if we think about the real word, it's really pushing us to a place of being, of experiencing the repentance that can take place in our life. It's a very positive thing. You don't want to go backwards. We want to go towards that. And so, but we do get it. The one way is from the Holy Spirit. And so I think all of us have experienced this in one way, shape, or form. You know, have you ever read your Bible and you saw something in there that really got to your, about your life, and you go, wow, I need to be like that. You walked away from that time with God, and you were just a different person. Everybody had that feeling before? I would say everybody in this room, almost everybody in this room at one time has had that. Because when we study the Bible, I remember I was a very selfish person before I was a Christian. And I remember them studying the scriptures with me. And we looked at scriptures, and I looked at how I'm supposed to give up my life. I looked at scriptures, how everything was going to be about Jesus now. And I remember walking away from those, from that Bible study, and I was thinking, I just can't be the same. Before that time, I never really thought about that. I never really thought about it. But when scriptures were shown to me, I got to experience the alencho, the reproof, the exposure of who I really was. Yeah. And it was a really exciting thing because I knew from that point that I can change my life. And so the Holy Spirit does it in many different ways. You know, the Holy Spirit can do it through reading the scripture. We can get that. We can experience this through sometimes in our prayers. Sometimes you'll be praying about something and all of a sudden you just have this mind, everything just changes and you're like, I wasn't even praying about that subject and somehow I got there. And that's the Holy Spirit who's trying to convict us and help us to get to that point of experiencing repentance in our life. Okay, so the first way is the Holy Spirit can convict us. Okay, the second thing, another way of experiencing alencho, is that the cross compels us. Okay, and we all know this scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:14. It says, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who should live should no longer, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. And so it says here that because we experience the cross, because we experience the love and the grace, and we experience everything that Jesus has done for us, it says that compels us to be a different person and to think differently. You know, another scripture is 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on a tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray. But now, the repentance, you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And when we come in contact with the blood of Christ, with what Jesus has done, it changes us to be a new person. It changes our mind. It gets us to a place where we can experience that repentance that God can bring us. You know, and so it's very important that we go back and we study out the cross. You know, I remember years ago, and all of us have the story of how when you did the cross study and you learned about Jesus, how it just radically changed your life. You know, do you still do that study with yourself these days? Do you still go back and thank Jesus for what he's done on the cross? Because that cross gets us to that place of experiencing repentance and a mind change in our life. I mean, let's face it, without the cross, would any of us be different?
No.
Would any of us even have a, some of us might have a desire to be different, but would we be different being more like Christ in the ways that the Bible talks about? Would we get to experience all the things, the knowing that we have salvation, the being taken care of and comforted by God? Would we get to experience any of this, the relationships we have, if we didn't get to experience the cross and what Jesus went through? And so we need to really be pushing ourselves in the second way of experience of Lentio. We need to be pushing ourselves all the time. The first things we're looking at are things kind of that we can do. So if you get that, and the first one, you know, is really going after God, reading your Bible, praying, really, really trying to connect with the Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can give you that. Okay? The second one is really just seeing the cross, always having the cross on your heart, always having the love of Christ. That's why it's so important when we come together every week, we take communion. And it can seem sometimes like it's just this routine that we do, but it's designed to really to help. And I think what Devante said about the whatever big word about changing your mind, you know, it really, when we come in contact with Jesus and the cross, that's the thing. It's more than somebody coming up here and saying a few words. It's never the speaker. It's the Holy Spirit working through the scriptures that are being shared, because it's that coming in contact with the blood of Jesus. That's the thing that gives us change in our life. And so the second way is the cross compels us. And we kind of know those first two, right? We go, yeah, I got to go after my Bible reading. I got to go after prayer. And I got to go after understanding Jesus. Okay? The third one, I think we may know, but I think it's the one that we may have the most difficult with, is that the church reorients us. In Matthew 18, it says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault. Just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. If they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. And so we see here that through the church, and I had people in the church because I had a picture of the building. I was like, no, it's not the building, it's the people. Through the brothers and sisters within the church, through our relationships, the church reorients us. So if we're going this direction, but Jesus is that direction, we need people in our lives that kind of push us back. And through that, we can experience a Lentio. We can be pushed to the point of like, wow, I see where I'm at. Thank you, brother, for pointing that out. Thank you for helping me to get to this place now that I can experience the repentance. And that's what we all want. And we have to see that the church is very crucial in this. It's not just the cross and not just reading your Bible, but the church also plays a major role in this. That's why you can't be a Christian on your own. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to go home and be a Christian. I'm going to sit in my closet with no relationships. It doesn't work that way. Yeah. We need people in our life because we need to get reoriented all the time back to facing Jesus and what He wants for our life. You know, there's many stories in the Bible about this. And you may be familiar with this one, but we'll read this. This is 2 Samuel in verse 12. We're not going to read the whole story. But this is a story, this is the part where Nathan rebukes David. It says, why do you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Out of your own household, I am going to bring calamity on you. before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to the one who is close to you, and he will sleep with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Okay, and we recall this story here because David did some really bad things, right? David, you know, he committed lust. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. You know, if you remember this story. And he was very deceitful. And he even wanted Uriah, which was Bathsheba's husband, to go and sleep with her so that he can pretend that it was their child. And then he ends up killing Uriah. Okay, and so, you know, he did some really bad stuff. And when we read the story, really, David didn't have a conviction about his sin. He kept on living in this sin. He kept on doing the same things and moving forward with his life, almost pretending that it didn't happen. But he needed this guy, Nathan. He needed Nathan, right, Nathan? He needed Nathan to come and to tell him and to point out, hey, you're not going the right direction. This is something, you're going the wrong way here. This is not how you deal with your sin. I'm going to reorient you, and I'm going to face you back to Jesus, okay? We need that, and I think sometimes we like the first two because those are things we can kind of even do on our own, but we really need other people in our life to help us to experience repentance. So if you've been going through this repentance thing, doing it just on your own, like it's between me and God what I'm repenting of, you're missing out on one major thing here. It's this, is having others in your life to get you to back to Jesus. We need the church to reorient us back to Jesus. Amen. You know, we look at that picture and go, that's kind of mean. You're kind of pushing that person. Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm in sin, or I've got negative mindset and I've got negative attitudes, whatever, I need someone that's going to get in my life and go, come on, you need to change, okay? And so we all need that. And we need to see that that's an important part of us being. You might be asking yourself, well, why am I not having any breakthroughs yet with repentance? Well, I don't know. You know, we're going to get to the last thing here in a second that will maybe explain some of it. But I have to ask you, are you doing this? Are you allowing people in your life to help you to change? You know, how do I repent? That's the question of the day. How do I do this? Well, we learned the Holy Spirit convicts me, okay? So I got to be convicted by the Spirit, whether that comes through reading, through praying, through meditating, whatever it is that helps God come into, you know, and change you. We got to let the cross compel me. I got to be changed by that cross. And sometimes we can come out of our readings not being feeling changed. We got to get back and spend more time. That's just a sign from the Spirit that you need more. Okay? So the cross compels me, and then the church, brothers and sisters, they reorient me. Okay? Those are the things that I see in the Bible. If we want to experience repentance in our life, those are the things that are for us to do. Y'all with me on that? So you may, you know, again, if you're not experiencing something you want, some change happening in your life, you first need to ask yourself, am I doing all these three things? Am I really pushing myself to go into my Bible reading? You know, am I really striving to learn more about Jesus? Have I asked that brother or sister, hey, how do you think I can change? What ways do you think? Sometimes you need to open the door like that. Allow someone in to come in and to help you, to reorient you. You know, aleccio is a divine act that delivers me over to repentance. Okay, so the first ones, we can do all these things. These are things that we can do. But that aleccio, it's gonna really come from God. Okay? Yeah. But the first ones are in our control. The first ones are things that we can actually do. But at the end of it all, it's God that's going to grant us the repentance. It's God. So some of you guys are asking, well, Am I going to be able to repent by the 15th when we have this party? I don't know. But I know this. You can do these things and be on your way. When God does it for you, I don't know. But we can all do these things and open up that door and get to that point of Valencia in our life. Okay? So God grants repentance. Acts 11, 17. Therefore, if God gave them the gift, as he also gave us after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to hinder God? When they heard this, they ceased their objections and praised God, saying, so then, God has granted the repentance that leads to life, even to the Gentiles. Okay, there's more scriptures along with this. By the way, in just about 2 seconds, they're going to be passing out some additional scriptures for you to take home. Okay, that's for you to go and have some more study time about. But God is the one who's going to give us the repentance. So there's things that we can do, but then at the end of it all, we've got to pray to God and we got to be patient and wait for his changing of our mind. But I tell you this, if you don't do the three things that lead there, it's not going to happen. There's things that we need to do. Because the question with this, well, God's granted this repentance. So the question that comes up is repentance, is metanoia a command or is it a gift? You know, is it something that I just need to do because it's in the Bible? Or is it something that God is just going to give to me? Well, the only answer I have for that when I read the scriptures, it's both. It's both. How you're going to experience the metanoia, how you're going to experience this great mind change, it's going to come through your part. Oh, I forget. There it is. It's going to come from your part in the obedience and following what God says, right? But then the final part's going to come because God is going to give you this gift. And that's something that we got to get excited about.
Come on.
We got to get, don't you like gifts from God?
Yeah.
You know, he gives us things and we can't take it like, oh man, I don't want to experience that. God wants to give us an incredible gift. But part of it is us really going after getting the Alencio, getting to the place where we can be ready to receive that gift of repentance. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to encourage everybody, because I've talked to some people that are just so much going after this repentance thing, and they're studying, they're coming up with things in their life, they're sharing it with other people. Some people weren't there, and then you talk to them a little bit, and they're like, yeah, I want to do this. But then I still see a few people that are just not really giving their hearts to this. And, you know, really, at the end of the day, it's your choice. But I really want to encourage everybody, let's all try to experience this gift that God has waiting for us.
Amen.
You know, God wants us, you know, I think sometimes we think, well, all I got to do is just kind of sit here and God's going to grant me everything I want. Well, he's going to grant you everything you need, but he's not going to just give it to you without you really going after it too. He wants us to have that mind change that we can, and that heart change that we can only get from reading the scriptures, by having other people in our life and getting redirected in the right way.
Yep.
But I want to tell you, he's got the most incredible gift of repentance and mind change for you. He's got it waiting. You know, but the question is are you really going to go after it? Are you ready to accept repentance in your life? You know, and so when we celebrate in a few weeks, yeah, I think a lot of us will be there and a lot of us won't. But I'm hoping this, that everybody will at least be on the road to repentance. Okay? So I hope that helps in your study. We are going to have more teaching this week at our house church celebration. We're passing out these scriptures for you, not so you can just to go home and throw it in the trash can or make a paper airplane with, but really for you to go and say, hey, is what Mike talking about, is that real stuff? Because I want you to see that this stuff is in the Bible and it's all over the Bible. And we need to get very comfortable with the idea of repentance in our life. We don't want to walk away from it. We want to come towards it because it's one of the greatest gifts God can give us in our life. Amen? All right, next week, how do we repent? Because today we looked at how do I repent? And next week we're going to focus on what do we do as a whole church? Like, as how do we as a church repent? Okay? But I want to remind you, we finished week two assignment, okay, on household repentance. All right? Don't throw it away. Don't ignore this. Go after it because the change is for you from God. Okay? Start week three assignment and start reading the house church repentance, because this week we're going to talk about house church repentance. And this is our dynamic that we have in our little groups when we get together. Amen?
Amen.
So let's be excited to experience repentance in our life. Love you guys.